Well, good morning. It is so good to see you. And we're excited for your enthusiasm for worship as well. You guys are ready to hop to your feet, aren't you? Well, let me just welcome you. If you are a guest, you should have received a bulletin, a worship guide, whatever they may call it, where you're from. And on the inside there is what we call a connection card. We would be so honored if you take some time to fill that out, tear it off, drop it in the offering plate as it goes by later in the service. So we have a record of your visit, and we can make sure. Yeah, there you go, Philip, just like that. And then we can make sure that you get a special gift. We're glad that you're here this morning. Let's stand to our feet, and let's worship our great God.
Good morning, Flat Creek. Let's sing this out this morning. Praise is rising.
Praise is rising. Eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring. Hearts are.
Morning. sing this out, in Christ alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. And what heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I lay.
There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain.
And then bursting forth in glorious day, let's sing this last verse out together. Sing, no guilt in life.
No guilt in life. No fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my
time of greeting this morning. Turn to somebody beside you. Tell them you're happy to see them at Flat Creek Baptist Church this morning.
Isn't it awesome to see our kids up here this morning? They're going to worship with us as we sing Indescribable. Let's sing it out. From the highest of heights.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea. Creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring. Every creature unique in the song that it sings. All exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by.
Stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. Incomparable, unchangeable. You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing, God. You are amazing. You are amazing,
God.
lift this up this morning. You're the name above all names.
Name above.
Can we give the Lord praise this morning? You may be seated, and I am so proud of these students here. We hope that you have seen just a glimpse of what we talk about when we're talking about multi-generational worship, where preference isn't available. We simply just exalt our great, great God. And I'm so thankful for these students leading the way. And we got our RAs who are going to help us with the offering in just a moment as well. But I want to enter, this is a very, very special day in the life of our church. 1838, May 18, 1838, not right here, but bear with me, at Flat Creek Baptist Church, we ordained our first deacon. And today, this morning, we have the opportunity to continue the practice, and we want to put before you, through the deacon body now, who he's come, and the chairman, Mr. Kenny Wright, in front of the deacons as well. He's shared his testimony to them. He's been affirmed by them. He's been nominated by you as a church body. But we want you to come, and we want Artero to come. Come on over here, brother. And we're so grateful for you. You've served our church. You have ministered to our church. He led a guy to the Lord just a few weeks ago, who's now in the presence of the Lord. And so we have been grateful for this brother and his faithfulness to this church and to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to hear his story of what God has done in he and his family's life. Mr. Otero, why don't you share your story, buddy?
Hey, good morning, everybody. God bless you. My name is Arturo Rodriguez, and I have my wife. Her name is Daniela Mesa. And we have two sons. The older one is Kevin Rodriguez. He's 15 years old, and he's going to be 16 on December 9th. And then
Where's Daniela at? There she is. Why don't you stand up? Where are your kids at?
Kevin Rodriguez.
Kevin, why don't you stand up, too? You got anybody else?
And Axel Rodriguez. He's
10
years.
Come on, stand up. There he is. Stand up. Get on them tippy toes. There you are. We love you guys. We love
you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe see. Thanks, Ken.
I want to say thank you to the pastor, Josh, because he gave me the opportunity to share you my testimony and a small portion of my testimony. And I'm born in Mexico City. I am from Mexico City. And when I was around 6 years old, my dad and my mom, they got divorced. And I grew up in a neighborhood in Mexico City that there's too much crime, too much violence, and I grew up in that neighborhood. And I've been here in the United States around 20 years, and I got married with my wife 17 years. And my life was a disaster before I know Jesus Christ. Too much problems in my life with my wife, and then nobody in my family are Christians, But everything changed like five years and a half ago. Because I was working in a house, painting that house, and there's a guy that he was working in that house. He was doing some remodeling that bathroom one day in the same house, and he started sharing me the love of Jesus Christ. And when he started, he told me that there's someone that can forgive your sins, all your sins. And that was kind of hard for me to believe. And he told me also that there's one that can give you eternal life. You just have to believe in Jesus Christ. His name of that brother is Arturo Garcia. He don't come to this church. But I don't accept Jesus Christ at that moment. But God started doing something in my heart when I hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And after that, a lot of things start coming in my life. And later, my brother, I have two brothers here, and one went back to Mexico with my dad, and the other stayed here. He was older than me. And then one time he got sick, and the doctor said, we have to take him to the doctor, and the doctor told me that he was sick. He has a blood cancer, leukemia, and we got to take him to the Piedmont here in Fayetteville, and they sent him to the North Georgia Hospital. So when I went to buy a Bible, and I used to read a Bible every day, and then when my brother was at the hospital, I take the Bible with me and take it to the hospital and read it to him. And my wife told me that we need somebody to pray for your brother. And I said, yeah, you're right. But we don't know who can pray for us. And because I don't used to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And my wife, I know that we don't have somebody for pray for us, but God knows who can pray for us. And he sent somebody to our lives. My wife told me that there's a lady that invited him to the church. And that lady is from Flat Creek Baptist Church. That's what she tells me. That lady, she's still here, and it's the sister Brigida that she's sitting right there. And she's the one who invited my wife to the church. And after that, my wife came to the church, and she was so excited. She was so happy, and she calls me, and she told me, you're going to like this church. You're going to like the church because every time they teach, they have the Bible, and that's the way you like it. And I said, yeah, when I get off from the hospital, I go into the church. So that was one Wednesday, the first time I come to the church. And the first thing I can feel when I come into the church is the love of Jesus Christ. I can feel something special in my heart. When I was working down there, he changed my life. I come to the worship, and they have a nice worship down there. And everything starts changing. I accept Jesus Christ, and everything starts changing in my life. And the first thing I did when I accept Jesus Christ, I buy Bibles and I send them to my life, to my family in Mexico, to my mom, to my dad, because I was the first one that in my family that knows Jesus Christ. So I want everybody knows him. And then 1 year later, I invite my cousin, Gennaro Garcia and Maria, and I invite them to the celebration here, and then they come and they like the church. And then next Sunday, they come to the church, and they accept Jesus Christ, and they got baptized already. And I think they love this church because they already been here for 4 years already. And then after 1 year, my dad accept Jesus Christ in Mexico. And he got baptized too in Mexico for the glory of Jesus Christ. And then, but I know, I can see how Jesus Christ was doing a great things in my life and in my family. So I keep sharing the gospel to my other family. And after 3 years, my mom accepted Jesus Christ too, and she got baptized over there in Mexico City too. And now she's in a Baptist church in Mexico City, and she loves Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And everything started changing in my life. And then when I get off from the church, from the hospital, my brother came to the church. I bring him to the church. He accepts Jesus Christ, and he loves this church. He used to come to this church. 2 years later, he passed away. One day he told me he was tired, and he was ready for go home with our Lord Jesus Christ. And he passed away, but I know one thing, that he's not dead. He's alive. I know he's at heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ, because I believe that we have a living God. And because he lives, we're going to live too.
Amen.
Because I believe on his word. I believe what he said on his word, the promise. I believe what he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Amen.
I believe on that word. And I want to say thank you for all of you, because you, for the support that you're doing for the Hispanic ministry. Because I want to tell my brothers, the Hispanic ministry, to stand up. Hermanos, por favor, pónganse de pie. They are hard working. They are hard workers sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm here too, because every time they share the gospel of Jesus Christ, they do it for our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say thank you to my brothers. And thank you for all of you too. And thank you, I want to say thank you for my Lord Jesus Christ, because he gave me the opportunity today to serve him as a deacon. And I'm going to effort to keep working on the kingdom for his glory and for his honor. Thank you, everybody.
Amen.
And God bless you.
Amen. Amen. I love this brother. I love this family. I love brothers and sisters, and I affirm your testimony. I just praise God for what he's doing in your life. And guys, you can make your way forward. And we want to continue to worship through receiving tithes and offerings this morning. We'll continue to advance the gospel here locally and globally for the name of Christ. We see more Arteros and more Danielos and more Alexes and more Kevins come to know Jesus. And we want to ask Artero, if you just pray over the offering, and we'll continue to worship. Would you pray?
In Spanish?
Yeah, you can do it in Spanish.
Okay. Alabado Padre Celestial, te damos gracias, Padre Santo, por este día. Te doy gracias por todas las ofrendas y los diezmos que mis hermanos van a traer el día de hoy ante ti, Padre. Todo lo hacemos para tu gloria y para tu honra. Bendíceles grandemente sus finanzas. Y te pedimos, Señor, que sigas usando todo esto, Padre, para extender tu reino, Padre, para que podamos llevar la palabra, Señor, a aquellas personas que no te conocen y puedan llegar a tus pies así como hemos llegado cada uno de nosotros. Gracias, y en el nombre de Jesucristo, tu Hijo, te lo pedimos. Amén.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe, and out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me.
Let's lift that up this morning.
Then came the
has been a fantastic morning already, hasn't it? I am so grateful for those children, those students, these adults, these leaders, these musicians. Brother Dustin, thank you. That was a fantastic way to lead us to a place where we can hear from God's Word this morning. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 is where we're going to be. Find your way to 1 Timothy chapter 3. It was several years ago, my wife and I were doing one of those graveyard tours. You ever been on a graveyard tour? All right, you judge me later. We were on one, And we were hearing some just fantastic stories about people. And I asked the question really kind of flippantly. I said, were there any great men born here? And this obviously was a familiar question to the tour guide, because he looked at me and he said, no, sir, just a lot of babies. And I thought some of y'all are going to get that later. There really are no great men or women born. That takes time. That takes maturity. That takes a life. That takes a story. And what I want to submit to us this morning as we prepare to ordain Arturo Rodriguez, and I'm really going to be preaching to me and to you and to us as we talk about spiritual leadership, as we talk about finding the checklist of those leaders within the church as we're walking through 1 Timothy together, I want to point your eyes to 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. I want to start there, and then I'll work our way down through verses 1 through 13. But look at verse 14. These things I write to you. I want you to remember why the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to a young pastor named Timothy. Here's the purpose of his writing. Though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar of the ground of truth. Now, we just sung about the living hope. Friends, we have a living God. He is writing to young Timothy in teaching this congregation that he is addressed. This is how we ought to behave in the church house. This is how we ought to behave as followers of Christ. He's dealt with some issues that have already popped up in the first chapter. Hymenaeus and Alexander are causing some to doubt their faith. They're disputing and they're arguing over the resurrection of Christ. They've upset the faith of some, is what 2 Timothy tells us. We know that from 1 Timothy chapter 1. We looked last week at how he was differentiating roles between men and women. And we see that there at the end of chapter 2, he says Adam was formed first. He takes us back to the pattern of creation. And he says this is how it was in the very beginning. Adam was created first. He's the spiritual leader of the home. And then he gives us the role for women. He says there's one thing that women can do that men cannot do. They give birth to children. But now he turns. Remember, there's no chapter divisions in the original language. There's no verses in the original language that just reads together as it would a letter. We insert those for our memory and our sake, but he just continues the thought and say, okay, here's what women can do. Then he turns and he says in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior. He must have the spirit of hospitality about him, be able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, doesn't covet, one who rules his house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. Verse 5, for if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are on the outside, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their households well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let's bow together one more time before we begin to walk through this text. Father, it is in the name of Christ Jesus. We come this morning surrendering under the authority of your word, asking you to speak to us through your word, by your spirit. Father, we're grateful that you have given us your word. Bound with it in this book, Father, you speak. So, Lord, we open ourselves up, our minds, our hearts, our ears, our attention is toward you. Speak to us now, Father. May the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable unto your sight. Oh, Lord, my God, my Redeemer, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to begin to just walk through this. Hopefully you have your copy open. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Let's kind of walk through this text together, and I think you're going to find it very, very practical for all of us. As we talk, first of all, let's talk about the behavior of pastors. I'm going to preach at myself and yell at myself for just a little bit, so you just bear in and just help me out here. So the first 8 verses, what we see is really the behavior of the pastor, in the first 7 verses, rather. We see the behavior of the pastor. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, an overseer, some of your translations, like the New Living Translation, translate it elder. Some of you have pastor. It's the same office, but it's interchangeable with many different titles, such as elder, pastor, overseer. You see pastor, the word pastor found in Ephesians chapter 4. You see the meaning of pastor found in 1 Peter chapter 4, or chapter 5, where it gives us a little bit more clear picture of what a pastor is doing as a shepherd. But here in 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul uses the word overseer, one who has oversight over the church, one who is a bishop, a pastor, an overseer, an elder. He uses that word in desire of that position. He says he desires a good work. It's a good thing to desire to be a pastor. If I can encourage any of our students in this room, you have one of the greatest callings on your life. If the Lord Jesus Christ right now is tapping you on the heart and on the shoulder and on the mind and saying, I'm calling you into service. I remember where I was, Pastor Dustin. I remember sitting there at a camp. I was 16 years old. Dave Adams was preaching. I remember, he's a big, tall man. It stuck in my mind because he's real tall, huge. He was preaching about David and Goliath. I thought, man, you kind of are the Goliath of the story, you know? And he was just preaching the stars down. I remember in all of that and him screaming and yelling and hollering. And I remember it's just like the Lord came up and parked next to me and just tapped me on the shoulder. Said, I'm calling you. And dear friends, from the sincerity of my heart, there's nothing I ever else want to do than this right here. This is what I'm called to do. God has put it on my heart. And what I'm saying here is there, if you're called to minister, there is nothing else you can do. In study halls, I was writing sermons. They were no good, and I burned them all. But I remember the first sermon I got to preach, it lasted all about 8 minutes. This is all I can think about. I dream about it. It is my consuming passion to shepherd God's people. This is why I'm here. And the Bible tells me that I aspired to a good thing. Some of you are being called in the same like manner. God is pricking your heart. And what I'm trying to tell you from the authority of God's word, he desires a good work. Wouldn't that be great to see God bring out more men and women of this church to be in the ministry for his service? Wouldn't that be a good thing, church family? Would you affirm that in these students' life if they stepped out and said, hey, God's calling me in ministry? Would you shout and holler amen to that? Amen. You better, or something's wrong. We rejoice with that, and some of you are being tapped in that way. This bishop, this pastor, verse 2, then must be blameless. It's not perfect, Please understand. Have grace in your thinking as you walk through these things. He's mature. He's spiritually mature, able to speak to things with spiritual maturity. He's the husband of one wife. He loves his wife. This pastor and his behavior, he wants to do everything he can to grow his wife in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. He wants to do everything he can to help serve her. He takes it seriously that when Paul wrote in Ephesians 5 that he is to love his wife the way Christ loved the church, he takes it serious upon himself to minister to her in like way. He is to love his one wife, a one-womaned man. He's to be temperate, not driven by emotions, sober-minded, clear, crisp in his thinking, of good behavior. I like this next word. He also has an open heart and an open home. He welcomes people. He's friendly. He's able to teach. You see that there? He's able to teach. I believe wholeheartedly that a pastor ought to give himself to the study of God's word. If he is lazy in the study, he's going to be hazy up here, all right? He must give himself. One of the best things a pastor can do is to sit his rear down in a chair for a long period of time and rightly divide the word of God. That's one of the best things he can do in feeding the sheep of God. Would you agree with that? One of the best things you can do. Dear friends, if you're being called in the ministry, if you are in the ministry, you understand one of the best things that you can do is to sit down, understand, dig in of what the Word of God is saying. We call it expository preaching, where you literally take the text and you deposit it into the lives of hearers. That is rich teaching. That is thorough teaching, preaching the whole counsel of God. He's not given to wine. It's a wonderful word picture. You're not lingering and hanging out with a bottle. It's almost the picture of you just hugging the neck of a bottle where people recognize your face and attach it to a bottle. He doesn't linger after wine in such way. And we'll have more to say about that in a moment because some of these overlap, and so I'm saving some of the good stuff for later on. He's not violent. Some of your translations use a word that I have fallen in love with this week, and I will give someone a dollar if you've ever used this word in your entire life, pugnacious. Pugnacious sounds like an ugly word because it is an ugly word. You're not a striker. That's literally what it means. You're not violent. You're not looking at ways to get back with people. You're not holding things in for 6, 8, 10 weeks saying, I'm going to get you later. Apostle Paul says he's not violent. He's not pugnacious. If you want to know how to spell that, it's on the back of the sheet. He's not greedy for money. He's not greedy for money. He doesn't long for money. He doesn't love money. He understands it's a resource and a tool to be used for the kingdom of God. He's gentle. He's not looking for fights. I like how Charles Spurgeon said that he doesn't have his fist doubled up all the time with a theological revolver stuck in his trousers, looking for a fight or a gun war anywhere theologically. He's slow to think. He's deliberate in his thinking. He rules his household well. He manages his household well. He loves his bride. He loves his children. And they're all under the submission with reverence. How's he going to rule the house of God if he's not managing his own family? He's not a novice, lest he be puffed up with pride. He's humble. He's gracious. Not falling in the snare as the devil did in Isaiah chapter 4. He says, I will, I will, I will, I will. Pride isn't categorized by his life. Because we know this, that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. This is the behavior of a pastor. Let's talk about the behavior of a deacon in these next verses. Let's talk about the behavior of a deacon, and then we'll sum it up, and I cannot wait to ordain this brother. Likewise, deacons, be reverent. Be serious-minded. Be serious-minded. It doesn't mean that you're always serious, because we know that the Bible tells us that laughter is good medicine, but you understand how to discern of when this is a time to be serious and when this is a time to bring joy. You understand reverence, and you also understand not to be double-tongued. The deacon body was designed, and I should say this too, in the behavior of the deacons, it is not an administrative board, nor has it ever been according to the New Testament theology. In Acts chapter 6, when it is developed, deacons come out to help ministers and pastors along so that they can study and so that they can pray. Not because they're better, because they'll serve, but one of the ways they help is by helping and serving this body. Arterio, you're going to help us, and we're so grateful for that. This deacon body helps serve. I like to call them shock absorbers. They ensure for a smooth ride. You're not to be double-tongued. You're not to start the slander. You're not to start the gossip. Dear friends, you're to silence it. Your role here as a deacon body is to help stop gossip, not start it. Not to be double-tongued. In fact, in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, Proverbs verse 11, chapter 11, verse 13, uses this word, talebearer. Instead of double-tongued, they translate talebearer. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is a faithful spirit conceals a matter. You're coming alongside, helping us serve this body, and you are going to be handing some really confidential stuff, and we need you, church family, to hold that to yourself. Amen? To minister to this family, these friends, in a way that conceals a matter but doesn't reveal secrets. He's not a double-tongued man. He's not given to much wine. Now, before you use this as the proof text that you can have alcohol, I think there's a case to be made that it is used for medicine in the New Testament. I think things have changed a little bit along the journey from the first century to where we are today in the field of medicine. I would believe we could make a case this morning that it's just simply not wise to partake of alcohol. But I understand I'm one of the many, and I want you to at least consider this. As pastor and deacons, would you at least do me the favor of considering Romans chapter 14? As we approach certain things, let's think through this verse. It is neither good to eat, it is good neither to eat meat or drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. This calls for submission. It's good neither to eat meat or drink wine, do anything may cause your brother to stumble. I'm not made weak if you drink in front of me. I don't stumble if you're in front of me. I'm offended if you drink in front of me. That's me. That's me. But friends, I would pray that you would consider this verse as you're at the supermarket, as you're at your dinner. Just consider Romans 14, especially, now remember our context, pastors and deacons. Consider Romans. As we walk through this text, and some of you are saying, praise the Lord right now, holding the mystery. You're not greedy for money. You're holding the mystery of the faith, which is a pure conscience. One of the reasons we abstain from those things, we want to hold the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. People are looking at us. We're the example. I like how Dr. Fowley says, sometimes you got to go all the way to get some halfway. You are the example. Hold the faith with a pure conscience. Be found mature, wise, be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things, for our deacons' wives in the room, for our pastors' wives in the room. This calls us to attention, that we would not be slanderers, that you'd be faithful in all things. Deacons, have one wife. Be a one-woman man and love her passionately, love her faithfully, and rule your children and your households well. Rule them well. What is the reward of being a deacon? Artera, what is the reward of being a deacon? You don't have to answer that. We've already questioned you, okay? You relax now. All the hard stuff's over. The fun part's about to begin. Verse 13. Why should you care about being a deacon? Why should we nominate people to be? Why is it a big deal to be a deacon? Well, the Apostle Paul writes young Timothy, and he tells in verse 13, for those who have served well as deacon, they obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith. You get a good standing. You get boldness in the faith when you serve well as a deacon. One of the things I asked the staff this past week was, when you think about spiritual leaders, what comes to mind? When you think about deacons, when you think about a pastor, what is one of the attributes that comes to mind? And one of the words that came out first, Miss Linda shot it out right away, and she's right. Servant. A servant leader. Could I submit to you that that's just not a good word for deacons or pastors? That's a good word for every Christ follower in this room. Amen? John chapter 13, Jesus actually exemplified this. Jesus actually embodied this. Jesus actually took on the form of a servant on that Passover night. You remember what he did. Say, oh Lord, he's going to wash our feet. I brought with me a little brush. And I want to tell you, I saw Truett Cathy do this one time. He was speaking at the college that I attended. And I'll never forget this. He came down on the front row, just like this, Truett McCathy. And what he did, he talked about serving the next generation. And he just began to brush our feet off. And he talked about being a servant leader. And I've never forgotten it. And I look at this church family. Come here, Kevin. Look at this. I'm gonna clean these Sperry's off for you, all right, man? And he talked about serving the next generation. And he talked about how God's going to instill you, and he's going to give you the next generation, and he's going to give you the opportunity to serve him in this next generation, and about how he prays that you be everything you can for the glory of God in the next generation. You know what? I think the Lord Jesus Christ did that night. He went around the room, and he just prayed for the leaders. And give me a shoe, Dustin. And he looked around at those leaders, and he took up a towel, and he washed their feet. I love you, man. He went to the next person. He just washed their feet. With all the gratitude in his heart. That was such a humble act of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, yet got down and washed the feet of the disciples. Not just for pastors. Not just for deacons, but for every single one of us in this very room. I ask you, sir, I ask you, ma'am, how are you going to pick up a towel and serve someone this week? Not aspiring just to be a pastor or a deacon, but to aspire to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I may never get acknowledged for this, but I'm going to get down and I'm going to serve you and I'm going to look you in the eye. I'm going to go sit with the person who's no one's sitting with. I'm going to go to that employee that everybody kind of mocks and maligns, and I'm going to love on them and I'm going to open my mouth and tell them that God loves them. Because, dear friends, if you love them in your heart, he ought to come out of your mouth. And I submit to you this morning, who's going to pick up the towel that the Lord Jesus Christ laid before us, who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. And he modeled a servant life We're not modeling after pastors. We're not modeling after deacons. We're modeling our lives after King Jesus. And the church of God said, amen. Let's bow together. You've heard the question this morning. You've heard the call this morning. Some of you, if you were real honest this morning, you've been proud. You've been bitter. You've been angry. If I dare say, you've been pugnacious. You've been looking to strike. I ask you, sir, I ask you, ma'am, pick up a towel. It's a much more freeing life to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is your example, that you're not bound by your anger, you're not bound by your bitterness, you're not bound by your sorrow, but you're leaning and you're trusting on Him. That's what we call an invitation. We simply invite you to respond to the message. Will you pick up a towel? Will you deal with the business the Lord has put on your heart right now? Is there an opportunity for you to come and just simply pray and say, God, I'm giving this over to you. I've been carrying this weight long enough. I have not been an effective servant with you, for you, because I've been harboring so much anger, frustration, bitterness. I feel the dullness sweeping over my heart. And today, I just want to lay that at your feet. And I don't want to be one that you resist, but I want to be one that you welcome by your grace as you welcome those who are humble. So if that's you, sir, if that's you, ma'am, this morning you desire to pick up the towel. In a moment, we're going to sing. I'm going to stand right here. You don't have to put your hand in my hand. Maybe you just want to come and kneel here at this altar for a few moments and just seek God's face. You certainly do that. Maybe this morning you want to come and you want to put your hand in my hand and say, today I want to make this church my church home. Today I want to be baptized. Today I want to place my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because I don't know Him. You come as the Spirit of God leads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for the way that You've modeled Your life, that You were humble even to a death on a cross. That 3 days later, breath came back into Your body and You rose out of the grave and You're going to come back for us. Father, today we respond to You, our pastor, our shepherd, that we will be servants. We'll pick up the towel. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you stand? Let's sing. You come as the Spirit of God leads. You come, friend.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. And out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no
Amen. You may be seated. And I want to ask this morning if we have any ordained men in the church, if they would make their way up here. And Artero, Miss Daniela, you sit there. And we'd like any ordained men to come on up this morning as we prepare to close our service. We want to ordain this brother into the ministry and the life of our church family as he serves as a deacon here. We want to spend some concentrated time in prayer, and each one of them are going to pray. So hopefully, no, I'm teasing. Three people are going to pray, and some of your eyes got that big when we said it, but we do take it seriously, and we invite you to pray with us at this time as well as we seek God's face and just ask the Lord's blessing upon Otero and Daniela in their service here at the church. And Brother John, I want to help you up here, brother. You come on up now.
I got a balance problem. Thank you. Thank
Don't you. Take me with you.
Okay? There you go. Okay. And we come around him, and everybody lay hands on him, and we will begin to pray. And we invite you to pray with us as well. Please place your hands on them, and we want to pray.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you most especially for this family and for Arturo and for Daniela. We just thank you so much for all that their family has meant to our church. We ask that you continue to bless them and all that they do. We just ask now that you be with Arturo as he is taking this step in his life, that you would be with him, that you would guide him, that you would direct him in the ways that you would have him to go, that you would make sure that he stays humble to you in all he does.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are our living hope, Lord. And we just praise your name for the opportunities that we have to serve others. Lord, we're faced with the challenges every day of looking at life the way the world does, and that's to serve ourselves. But Lord, you call us a greater calling, and that is service to others. Lord, we lift up Artero right now and just thank you that he has responded to that call. Lord, just been hearing his testimony over the past week. Lord, it's been an inspiration to me that he has responded to that, and he is a servant to others. He's concerned about not just the things of this world, but about their eternal salvation, and he shares with boldness, Lord. And we just pray that you continue to bless him, bless his family. Lord, help him just to respond to all the things and the opportunities you place in front of him to serve you. And we pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Dear Father, we just praise you for Arturo and his family. We thank you for his testimony. We thank you for the service he's shown. And I thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy that you show all of us. I thank you that you chase us and you call us to come to you in a relationship. And I pray for everyone that you enter that relationship with you, dear Father. Use us to be your minister and help us to just walk by thy Spirit. Again, I pray for Terrell and his family. Bless them, protect them. Thank you for this day. And whatever we do, let us do all things in your honor and praise.
Father, it is in the name of Christ we thank you for the Rodriguez family and their faithfulness to you, to this church. Lord, we pray that you would use them mightily here in the life of this fellowship in serving you. Lord, that we would be pictures of you, that we would be your image bearers here as we serve as the hands and feet and the mouthpiece of you, King Jesus. We love you. We give you praise this morning. We thank you for this precious family. And it's in the name of Christ we pray, and all God's children said, amen and amen. And I want to ask the Rodriguez family, if you wouldn't mind standing up for us right here. And Brother Kenny, you take that microphone and you just kind of share what presentations we have for you today.
Okay. First off, we have your certificate of ordination signed by the deacons who were there at your ordination council. We also have this gift. We have it's a personal Lord's Supper kit to where you can take that with you when you're on the road, that you can visit with other people and present the Lord's Supper to them as well. So we appreciate it.
One of the things I'm really excited about, the ministry that our deacon body is going to be doing over these weeks and months to come and years to come, is they're going to be visiting homebounds. who cannot participate with us when we have the Lord's Supper, like this evening. That's not a get-out-of-church-free card for y'all. We want you to come back this evening. We really want to serve you the Lord's Supper. And so these men are going to be going into homebounds and those who are not able to make it, and they're going to observe the Lord's Supper in their homes. I'm so thankful for that ministry, aren't you? That's going to be a great ministry to folks that love this church very, very much. And that's what that kid's for, and that's what you guys are going to be doing over these weeks and days and months and years to come as well. We're thankful for you. I want you all to just come stand down here, and people, I want you to come by. Let me help you down here. Shake your hand, hug your neck, and just say congratulations. And that way, Brother Mark, do we have any announcements? Or why don't you close us in prayer, and we'll be dismissed.
Thank you, Pastor Josh. Love you, Brother Arturo, Ms. Daniela. We love you guys. I want to remind you, speaking of ministries, tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, our Go Night event, we're going to one of our assisted living facilities here, taking flowers to them tomorrow night. Meet us here at 5:30 to eat, and then go out with us at 6. We'd love to have you come and help us with that. Next Sunday night, our nominating committee will be presenting some names. We have to let you know that in advance. So next Sunday night, our business meeting was left open for that. So next Sunday night, during the evening service, they'll be presenting that. There's some tables in the foyer we want you to stop by. One for the Pregnancy Resource Center ministry that we're going to be doing, collecting diapers and wipes and things to take to our Fayette Pregnancy Resource Center. Public Affairs Committee has a table out there. And there's some other things that you want to stop by. Our Guatemala mission trip is getting ready to go in November. They're having a preparation meeting Thursday, and they need your help to come and get stuff ready to go to Guatemala. I think they'll meet here at 9 or 9:30 on Thursday morning. Brunch is going to be provided by Miss Diana Beeson, so you don't want to miss it. Come and help them Thursday at 9:30 in the morning. Adult Sunday school teachers, we have a meeting and lunch for you in the fellowship hall as soon as we're done here. Pastor Josh, anything else you want me to say?
No, sir.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the spirit of this day. You've just done mighty things, and we thank you for that, God. All the praise and honor and glory goes to you. Thank you for this brother and his sweet family. God, I pray that as we go and leave here today, this message about Jesus would go out into this community. It's in his powerful name we pray. Amen. God bless you.